we hope that it will be able to assist us as Christians to recognize that the church and how we behave in the body is important. God the Father, Christ, and the Holy Spirit has an expectation that we conduct ourselves in a decent fashion in all areas of our lives, including our interaction with congregations of the Lord's body. All too often, members become members at large, float between congregation, not recognizing that while they are a part of the church globally, that they are to develop and operate in a local, geographically specific congregation. The apostles in their epistles to congregations and letters to specific preachers, as well as the recording of their activities, action, or acts, shown and demonstrated clearly that communication is expected and it is a decent action. So that's the background to the study. So let's repeat the title. It is the decent thing to do. We ought to have manners. And the idea of having manners or to exercise decency in the church sort of brings us first and foremost, well, what is decency? And so let us first take a look at that before we delve into the essence of what we want to cover this evening. So when we explore the concept of decency and sort of how it is used in Scripture, we could go very wide, but I think we can settle primarily on this concept that we see in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 13. And here, inspiration guides us and tells us by using that term decent, and along with that comes the concept that it is proper. So the idea of being decent is that it is proper, it is becoming, it is comely. So that's the idea we see here. So it says, judge in yourselves. Is it comely? Is it proper? Is it the becoming thing to do that a woman pray with her head uncovered? And so, while we're not going to be delving into, woman covering or not covering, what we see coming out from Paul here is that the idea of something being decent is that it is comely. The idea of decent also comes with the concept of it being honorable. It is it's an honorable thing. And so we see in the case of Joseph, who loaned his tomb to Jesus, it's because he was a decent man. It's because he had in his sphere, he was a man of honor. All right, let's have that read. Mark chapter 15 and verse 43. Mark chapter 15 and verse 43. And if you find it, just read it. Verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, an honorable counselor, which also waited in the kingdom of God, came and went in boldly unto Pilate and craved the body
of Jesus.
And so what we see here is that because of his reputation and because of how he navigated himself in an upright way, he was an honorable person, then he was able to get by. And so the idea is that if we embrace a posture of being honorable, then that augurs well. If we embrace an attitude of being proper, being comely, becoming, then that augurs well in our Christian journey. And the expectation that we be decent is not restricted in one area or facet. In our very manner of life, God has an expectation that we are decent. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 13, it tells us and shares this concept. Romans chapter 13 and verse 13. Yes.
Let us walk honestly.
Let us walk honestly.
As in the day, mm-hmm. not in rioting and drunkenness, mm-hmm. not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying.
And so the idea here of honestly is the same concept, that let us walk honestly as in the day. All right, so that also our manner of life should be one of decency. So this is an expectation of us as Christians. But since we're there, let's, you know, delve in this a little. Not in rioting. That's not decency. That's not proper. Not in drunkenness. We must be sober. Or we must have ourselves collected. Not in chambering and wantonness. And it's interesting that we are sharing this lesson today because, you know, this morning we had to navigate a little, depends on where you were coming from, because, you know, they were having carnival. And so you couldn't drive North South Boulevard because it was Campari Boulevard today. All right? And so the idea of carnival and being, you know, lascivious and so forth, this is not something that is becoming of the Christian. So we don't take a day off on carnival to go reveling and in all type of wantonness. Strife and envy, these are not things that are expected of us as Christians. That's not the type of disposition that God expects of us. But not only in our manner of life, which probably could cover everything, but we are encouraged in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 40 that in respect to worship, then things too ought to be decent. The manner in which we conduct ourselves should be of a particular nature. Let all things be done
decently and in order.
And in order. So in respect to worship, and the background there is that you don't just get up and just start doing what you want to do and say, well, the Spirit is in me and I just have to move. And, you know, as the prophet, as a preacher, I don't have any control. The Spirit take over. That is not the expectation when we talk about decency. So we are seeing that the God's expectation is that in our manner of life and in our worship. And now, three, in our interaction one with another, the expectation is that we will be decent. In 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, you can read that for me, we are told that we ought to conduct ourselves and interact a particular way. Read for me, please.
1 Timothy 3, verse 14.
And 15.
These things write I unto thee.
So these things write I unto thee.
Hoping to come unto thee shortly.
All right. So I want us to sort of make a mental note of something that we're going to be going in a little while. Start again for me.
These things write I unto thee.
These things write. Write. I'm highlighting write for a reason. So these things write I unto you.
hoping to come unto thee shortly.
Yes, I'm hoping to come to you shortly, yes.
But if I tarry long,
yes,
that thou mayest know how thou art to behave thyself.
How thou art to behave thyself.
In the house of God.
In the house of God. Mm-hmm. So you see, as we interact one with another within the congregation, from one congregation to another, God has an expectation in the how we behave ourselves, in terms of how we conduct ourselves. What is our manner? Are we operating decently? God has that type of expectation of us. So in this context, we want to spend the remainder of the lesson looking and exploring in respect to the early church, when there was need to communicate in respect to membership or members' movement. Does the apostles, does inspiration give us any type of guidance? Are we just being picky here? Why can't persons just, I am a member of the church and I can just go anywhere, it's the church of Christ, and just worship? Why can't I just be here today, there tomorrow, anywhere I want to go, it's the church of Christ? Did the apostles share anything? Did they have anything to say on this matter? Well, if time allows, we are going to look at some cases. We are going to look at situations where persons were, in fact, even in those days, moving from congregation to congregation. Did they just go on and do what they want to do? Or did we see anything happening in respect to communication? We can straight off say there is, you know, it's almost like there's always some amount of communication. You know, I don't want to go too much on a limb. All right, I guess I'll have to do some more studies there. But it's almost like it was always before the fact. It's like in anticipation of this thing happening, letter was written. In some situations, it almost seems as if they're not even sure the person is going to go there. But, you know, we'll see terms like, you know, if they come, accept them. So it's almost like, even where there's uncertainty, it's like the decent thing to do is to communicate, to write, to know, instead of just arbitrarily just turning up and, you know, for here I'm here, and the home congregation doesn't even know where you are and things like that. That's a strange thing. So I'm putting that out there, but we're going to be looking at some cases. And let us start with Apollos. In Acts chapter 18, so we just want to go through some of these and pick out some and get some learning out of it. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 24 following, all right, if we can just read these passages quickly when we call for them, that would be very good. Acts chapter 18, verse 24 following.
And a certain Jew named Apollos,
yes,
born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures.
All right, so this man was preaching, all right, yes.
Came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord.
All right, so he never really knew everything that he should know, but he was a man of passion, you know. But he had limitations in terms of his knowledge and so forth. Pick up verse 26.
And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue.
Yes.
Whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly.
All right, so I think we know about Apollos. All right, so he wasn't really exposed to the gospel. He was sort of in the era of John. All right, and so he didn't realize and learn about the transition And so he only knew about the baptism of John. But here it is that he was at a congregation and they heard him teach. And here it is, Aquila and Priscilla were able to guide him and he came to a better understanding of the scripture. Then pick up now at verse 27. So he's now in a good state.
And when he was disposed...
So here it is that he was disposed. He had plans to go into...
Into Achaia.
Into Achaia. So this was, you know, the larger side of Greece. And so he had this inclination. He had this plan. That was the direction that he was heading. Start again. Verse 27.
And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia.
So he was going to leave where he was. I think he was at Ephesus here. So, all right. And now he was going to go more into Greece, Achaia.
The brethren wrote.
The brethren what?
Wrote.
The brethren wrote. So here we have that here is now a brother. Understood the word more perfectly. He apparently was going around and around, but now he understands things better. And he is now planning to go elsewhere. The brethren where he is now associated with, they wrote. Read.
Exhorting the disciples to receive him.
The home congregation, the existing congregation that he's at, they wrote. And in their writing, they were exhorting. They were encouraging the... Read.
Exhorting the disciples to receive him.
Exhorting the disciples to receive him. So it is not just a matter of taking up yourself and just start associating with another congregation. Was he going to a Baptist? No. Same Church of Christ that he was going to. But the brethren with whom he was associating would now recognize that he's going into a new geographical area. And it was important that they communicate to the congregation that he's going to let them know that they should receive him. It says anything else?
Who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace.
Yeah, this is an interesting thing too, you know. On Apollos' arrival, he got involved. How many, we change, a person. And let me fix this up. Because persons will move from one congregation to another for wonderful reasons. Personal reasons. Nothing is wrong with that. That's quite in order. But what we don't want is a situation that because you change your membership, then it shouldn't be that you move it so that you can get lost in the crowd. That you can quietly backslide. Because a lot of times, when we are in our home congregation where people know us, they know we became a Christian here and they're encouraging you. And if you miss our worship, then you're going to get a call. And so here what? I'm ready for backsliding, but you know what? Let me change my membership to somewhere where people don't really know me and they don't get used to me yet, so I can easily slide away. So where you are used to, people say, oh, you are now here. And then the new place don't really know you so well yet. So you can easily slide away. That was not the disposition that we saw with Apollos. He, on arrival, helped. He worked. Not only that he worked and that he helped, but he helped much. He used his talent. Verse 28. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. He was active. So even, you know, we're speaking this to us because at some point, somebody here might be going somewhere else. Don't let that become, you know, the narrative for you. Don't let that become what is spoken of you that, you know, you move and then you do not get or remain active in the work of the ministry. Can I move on? So that was one case, Apollos. If we turn to Colossians chapter 4, I didn't get to practice these pronunciations so good enough. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7, we meet Tychicus. And it says in verse 7 of Colossians chapter 4,
all my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord.
You realize what is happening here? Paul is writing and he says, I'm sending my beloved brother. He is a faithful minister. He is a fellow servant. So, in this brother moving from one congregation to another, Paul is writing to the congregation in Colossae, and he's saying, here is this brother. He note that he is a faithful minister. Note that he is a fellow servant. And I am sending him to you. You know, when he comes, he's coming with a purpose. Read verse 8.
Whom I have sent unto you,
yes,
for the same purpose.
He is sending him for the same purpose. Well, what is that same purpose? He will be able to tell what is happening with Paul. But not only that, read.
That he might know your estate and confirm your hearts.
So, comfort. He's going to comfort your heart. So,
yes, comfort.
So he's going to be of encouragement to you. He's going to get close to you. He's going to be of comfort to you. So, I'm not even so sure how long he was going to stay. But whatever his purpose, it was to encourage the brethren in Colossae. But here again, what we are seeing is that in Tychicus, going to Colossae, he didn't just turn up. Paul wrote, introduced him, let them know, the receiving congregation, that this is a faithful person in the Lord. You know, it's somebody saying, well, you know, these things is what happens with the preachers. You know, preacher like Apollos. You know, this Tychicus, he was a faithful minister. You know, working closely with Paul. So that's what is happening to persons who are, you know, a position in the church. What about a normal member? Does that apply? Well, how normal can we get? Well, can I speak of a sister? The apostles even go there? Can I introduce you to Phoebe? In Romans chapter 16, verses 1 and 2, it tells us about a system. Romans chapter 16, verses, pick up at verse 1. Read for me.
I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister,
So it's not talk, Paul talking, it's writing, yeah? So, I commend unto you Phoebe, all right? And just in case you think Phoebe is a man, all right? You know, like, should I say this here? You know, like growing up, so call me Phoebe, you know? So if I hear Phoebe, I know that is my family. So it's not Phoebe, as in like shortened for Fabian. This is Phoebe.
Our sister.
Our sister. So Paul, since it is Phoebe, a sister, she can just be at large. She can just float from one place to the next. No. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Read on.
Which is a servant of the church.
Which is a servant of the church. You know, some translations say she's a deaconess. Well, that's what a deacon is, a servant. So she is a sister in the church that serves the church. Where?
Which is at Cenchrea.
At Cenchrea, I'll go with you. Which is at Cenchrea. So, what are we seeing here? We are seeing that this sister is currently worshiping at a congregation in Cenchrea. And to whom is Paul writing? We're reading from again.
From Romans. The book of Romans, chapter book 16.
Book of Romans. So this sister, this member of the church, is from Cenchrea. And she is going to Rome. So she's moving from Cenchrea Church of Christ to Rome Church of Christ. And Paul, for this non-preaching woman, for this member of the church, not a preacher, he is writing a letter to the Church of Rome saying, I'm introducing you to Phoebe. She's a sister. She is a servant. And he says, receive her. Receive her in the Lord. So, you know, we have seen this term coming up over and over. I'm delving into it. This receive is putting an onus on the receiving congregation. Receive her in the Lord, as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. So here again, when the member comes into a new congregation, they should come into fellowship. There should be interaction. Doesn't become a spectator. They say, well, my home congregation is in Cenchrea, but I'm just here in Rome, and when I'm in Rome, I just want to be able to take the Lord's Supper. But my home congregation is in Cenchrea. No, that's not the idea. The idea is that when you come as a member into this new location, then you have full fellowship. So you expect the brethren to work with you, and the congregation will also benefit, because it tells us that she has a history, for she has been a succor of many. That means she has taken care of many. She was a person who works well, including Paul. And so it is that what we are seeing here is that she, coming with her history, was expected to continue doing good. Not because she's in a new location means that She start minimizing her Christian responsibilities. You know, yes, when a person comes into a new congregation, they are going to have to understand the congregation, and you know, so that is why straying a little. That is why a person doesn't move from a congregation that they are an elder, and because they were an elder in that congregation and they come into the new congregation, then they keep their status of elder. No, you work in the congregation, so you work in. Well, you know, but we are always careful to point out that an elder is first a Christian. A preacher is first a Christian. And so when you come into this new area, this new geography, you continue to be a Christian. Christian first. Can we move on? So what have we seen so far? That it is not just for preachers, but we are seeing that even for a normal member, what we are seeing in the examples of the apostles and how Paul and others interacted, that write, well, communicate, you know, communicate. Because, you know, later on we'll highlight that it's not so much, even so much writing a letter as it is communicating. So in our age, you can send an email, don't you? You communicate, you can make a phone call. It becomes so easy. So it's almost like in an era where communication is even easier to occur. Just a phone call, an email, a WhatsApp to communicate. But is what we want to do even less. We want to just turn up. Fit in. Jump in, jump out. No abiding city. I'm a Christian at large. This is strange to the Almighty God. Quickly, Barnabas. We see Barnabas in Colossians chapter 4. All right, we were there earlier, we've gone back there. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 10. So we are now introduced to Barnabas. So we have met Apollos, we have met Tychicus, we have met Phoebe, and we are now meeting Barnabas. Verse 10.
Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner,
okay,
saluteth you.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas.
Ah, it's a relative, some cousin business there, sir. Barnabas. Mm-hmm.
Touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him.
All right. So you see what is happening here? If him come. It's like that he was not sure I'm going to make it. But Paul ahead, because it is the right and the decent thing to do. You know, Paul have manners. So not allowing Barnabas to just show up and people wondering who he is and what he's about and is he really a member? And, no, communication. It's the right thing to do. And so it says, that last part again.
If he come unto you.
If he comes unto you.
Receive him.
Receive him. So here it is that, again, the receiving congregation has an action to do. All right, I was tempted to jump over this point, but let me go there according to my lesson plan. Pick up at the start of verse 10 again.
Aristarchus.
Mm-hmm.
My fellow prisoner saluteth you.
Mm-hmm.
And Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas.
Mm-hmm.
Touching whom he received commandments.
Touching whom he received commandments. I want you to realize now, all right, that we are going to see receive twice in this one verse. So we are seeing here whom you receive commandments or you receive instructions. Amen. That is the communication. So you are getting instruction in respect to who Barnabas is. So you are getting instruction from the sender. So the congregation from whom he is leaving is giving you some commands or some instructions concerning Barnabas. And if he comes, you, the person who is coming to, what you should do?
Receive him.
Receive him. That's the second receive. So you are receiving instruction. You're getting the letter. You're getting the communique concerning him. When you get that communique, then you receive him. If he comes, you receive him. So the receiving congregation has a responsibility to take. They must do their due diligence. Is this who he says he is? And so, but there is communication. There is always communication. If we're talking about communication and, you know, the basic principles of communication, that you have a sender, you have a receiver, and you have a communication channel. All right? So we said it already. In this case, it was a letter. But the channel could be other things. A telephone call, an email, a text to communicate. That's a channel through which. But the thing of manners to do, the decent thing to do, is to communicate. So you have the sending and the receiving. So we see that with Barnabas. All right, let me try to step through some others. I think I'll just touch one other. All right. Let me touch on Timothy. I think I'm going to end it here. You know, there's an interesting one, but I don't think I'm going to push with Onesimus. All right, he's an interesting case. You know, we see him moving at least two times. All right? And he seemed to have had some little trouble with one. All right? And that will bring a dimension to our understanding that even as we move from congregation to congregation, if there's something that you need to settle, then you need to have it addressed. You don't forget what you had done. And I take up residence here and I sort out things here. So, but I say I'm leaving it out for now. All right, and our next opportunity we get to touch that. But let me just touch Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 following, we are introduced to Timothy. So in this case now, Paul is writing not to a congregation as such. All right? Well, he is. But in his communication to Timothy, he says in verse 12 following of chapter 4, he says, I am sending you to Corinth. I'm sending you to attend to some matters. And he's, all right, pick up at verse 12.
Let no man despise thy youth.
Yes, probably this was a problem. Timothy was a youthful man. And, probably they're going to despise his youth and, you know, take advantage of him and become timid and don't want. Paul is saying, don't let anybody despise your youth, all right? Stand up strong. I'm giving you some instruction. So he's talking to Timothy now, all right? All right, continue reading.
But be thou an example of the believers.
Be a good example to the believers.
In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity.
Yes. Read.
Till I come. Give attendance to reading.
I want you to give attention to reading.
To exhortation.
To doctrine. To doctrine.
Neglect not the gift that is in thee.
So you have some gifts. Use the gifts. All right? And I'm highlighting this to again emphasize that when we go to a new location, that we become active. All right, whether it is foreign, all right, or local, you know, and I think our brothers and sisters from here have done well. When we meet upon them, they seem to be very active where they are. That should be our disposition. All right, don't get lost in the crowd. Be active. Continue to push what you know to be truth. You know, especially when you go to some of these first world countries where doctrine is watered down, you have to stand up strong. You know, is the type of exhortation that Paul was giving to Timothy. All right, let's see the counterpart of that now. So Timothy was going to Corinth, but here's what Paul did. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 10. Interesting. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, pick up at verse 10.
Now, if Timotheus come.
I noticed the if again, but I don't even want to place so much emphasis on the if. But what I want you to realize, Paul sending Timothy. Don't let anybody despise it. Yeah, youth and whatever. And, you know, when you go, be strong. Utilize your talents, work it. But at the same time he was doing that, he was writing to the congregation at Corinth to say what? Read again.
Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do.
What's the point? When Timothy is to go to that congregation in Corinth, that troublemaking congregation, with all the problems, Paul wrote, and he says to the church in Corinth, expect Timothy. Like Paul said, I'm not even so sure he's coming up, but expect him. That's the proper thing to do. And tell of his credential. He's a worker for the Lord. Just like me, he's working for the Lord. So what are some of the observations as I close? Whether you're a preacher, whether you're a brother, whether you're a sister, when you're moving, there ought to be communication. The sender or the congregation from which you are leaving has a responsibility in the communication. The receiving congregation has a responsibility and a role to play in the transition. The moving should always be a purposeful action. There is decency and there's orderliness in the whole transition. This communication ought to be a consistent action. We didn't delve so much in this, but whether it appears that whether it is that you are doing it for short term or long term, proper thing to do is to communicate. It is the decent thing to do. Brothers and sisters, let us learn in the church to be decent.
to have manners. It is what God expects. We see it over and over. It's not one case we brought up.
And let us use this to help others. You know, we see a brother, sister here. You know, each of us have a responsibility to say something to them when we start, you know, we didn't hear anything announced or whatever. You know, some of us do, you know. You know, you see a person come, we go and talk to the person, and sometimes you'll be very surprised. All right, some of us might be listening to this and saying, well, brother, when you come with this lesson, you'll be surprised how many persons just don't know. And you just don't know. All right, but we have to teach so that we know how to act. So we can help ourselves first, and we can help others. So we trust that this will be the situation from this lesson tonight.